Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Shasta Serenade. I'm Barry Hazel, your host for the next couple of hours, and I'll be playing a very eclectic mix of Americana music. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Shasta Serenade. And it's the last weekend of the month, and so we have the Rockaberry Weekend. Hi, folks, welcome to the Shasta Serenade. My name's Barry Hazel, and today is the 100th anniversary of Frank Sinatra's birth. Hey folks, welcome to the Shasta Serenade. I'm Barry Hazel, and for the next couple of hours, we're going to mix up a very eclectic show of Americana music.
Hi folks, I'm Nolan Ford, and today we've put together a special show to honor the memory of Barry Hazel, who passed away last week. Barry first began contributing to NSPR as a volunteer in the late 90s and began hosting the Shasta Serenade in 2010. For the next 2 hours, we'll explore Barry's story, have a conversation with his wife, Maylene Hazel, and feature some of Barry's all-time favorite music. Thank you for listening.
Unforgettable, that's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too. That someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
From 1951, Nat King Cole with Nelson Riddle and his orchestra, Unforgettable, went into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 2000. In 1991, Elvis Presley's music director, a guy named Joe Guccione, I hope I didn't butcher his name too badly, came up with the idea of taking that version and mixing it with Natalie Cole, Nat King Cole's daughter. And in 1992, it won 3 Grammys, Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Traditional Pop Vocal Performance.
When we moved up here, we had some friends who were already in the area. We'd met through our music contacts before we moved here. And one of those was Lorraine Dechter, and she had been telling him for a couple of years that he had a great voice for the radio, and he always laughed at her and that kind of stuff. And then one week she asked him if he could sit in with her and help her co-host a show, and he did that, and she was really happy with the way it went, and the audience kind of seemed to like him. So she kept inviting him back, and pretty soon he was doing it part-time with her. Almost every week they were sharing the microphone. I can't remember, it might have been a year or two before he did that, but he sat in for her then every time she was gone or busy, and it grew from there. Lorraine went to work for the radio station full-time. She had been a part-time person before that, and when she did that, she didn't have time to do the show anymore. So Barry just took over the show at the station's request, and took it from there. And at one point, he was having conversations with Brian Terhorst and some of the, and may have been previously, about making it his own show, because he was feeling very constricted by the folk music only setup, and he wanted to play some of the music that he truly loved. He loved folk music, but he loved all music, and he wanted to broaden the appeal. And so eventually they changed the name of the show to The Shasta Serenade. And that was a little bit of a cheat on our side, because we'd already named the festival that we put on here in Reading for about 3 years The Shasta Serenade. But I said, well, why doesn't it work for this? I mean, you are definitely serenading people. And so everybody at the station seemed to think it was okay, so we went with that name.
When a man has a dog in the city, a man needs to walk in the park. Take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark, living in the city. Man living with a dog. And a man has to carry him a plastic bag on his person at all times. When a dog dumps on the sidewalk, walking away is a crime living in this city. Man walking with a dog. Man likes living in the city, but a man has to find some work. Walking with a dog is a kind of a job, make you feel like a fool and a jerk living in the city. Working like a dog. Work out. Dog likes living in the city. In the city there's a lot of other mutts. Chicken in front, chicken in back, no ifs, no ands, just buts. Living in the city. Dog checking on a dog. It's a pretty good way to meet a woman. If a woman is walking a dog, you just say, what's her name? How old is she? Easy like rolling off a log, checking out a woman. Man acting like a dog. But when a man has a fight with a woman, a man needs to go for a walk. Walking with a dog is easy. He listens, he don't talk. Talking to a dog. Talk to me. Walking with a dog in the winter, in the wind, in the rain, in the snow as it drives. it's hard as hell to keep a cigarette lit and get the shit in the plastic bag. Living in the city, man walking with a dog. When a man has a dog in the city, man needs to walk in the park, take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark. Living in the city, man living with a dog.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Shasta Serenade. And that was Loudon Wainwright III with Man and Dog. And that's off of Haven't Got the Blues Yet. Well, coming up next is Rita Hosking. She's a Shasta County native and a big favorite of the Oak Song Music Society. Well, not too long ago, Rita came out with a brand new album. It's called Frankie and the No-Go Road. And the cut I'm going to play for you, Better Days. Here's Rita Hosking.
Call it my heart, call it my hell, call it a story I gotta tell. Call it too soon, call it too late, I'm just searching for a better day. Just come on in, the door's always open to places I've been. Used to broken, running on rails, rails made of steel, working as hard as I feel. And oh, some drive through life, always keeping the wolves at bay. And I just can't abide, and I'm searching for. A lot of people sick, a lot of people not, a lot of people take it for anything you got. People give in to hatred and greed, a lot of people blinded by what they believe. And oh, some drive through life like it's just a big holiday. Has one taken over the land? Something so strong, I can't touch it with my hand. Something so strange, nobody can tell. Something so familiar, we know it too well. And oh, some drive through life, always looking the other way. Thank you. Something has won, taken over the land. Something so strong, I can't touch it with my hand.
Can't even afford before he turns that dollar loose and I get my due. And I lose a little bit of these working girl blues. I'm tired of working my life away and giving somebody else all of my pay while they get rich on the profits that I lose. And leave me here with the working girl blues. I only working girl blues. And I can't even afford a new pair of shoes. Well, they can live in any old penthouse they choose. And all that I've got is the working girl. So the rich can have that all-American dream. Well, I'm tired of working my life away and giving somebody else all of my pay while they get rich on the profits that I lose. And leave me here with those working girl blues.
Well, his dad was the very first. His dad was from Texas and settled in California after World War II. And Barry was born here in California, and his sister. And they lived, he was in the aerospace industry down in Southern California, and that's where they lived for the first 10 years of their lives. And during that time, they were close enough to Bakersfield that his dad could go to Bakersfield and hear the kinds of music that he had grown up with. His father played a fiddle, and had always, Barry's grandfather had played the fiddle, and had always gone to all the whatever kinds of parties they had, barn raisings or whatever, in Texas the whole time Barry's dad grew up. And so Barry's dad and mom loved to dance, and they went to these things. Barry said they always used to call them musicals. And they went to a lot of things in Bakersfield. They went to, he got interested in Rose Maddox and the Maddox brothers and all those people while he was really, before he was 10 years old. And then he had some older cousins, and they used to babysit him. And they were into rock and roll. So they were responsible, I think, for his love of rock and roll, because, as you know, he did dearly love that, too. And as it expanded, just being out in the real world, he expanded into other music. Actually, in high school, he had a part in Guys and Dolls, in our high school production of that. He and I met in drama class, and he was always very involved in that, as well as sports. And so it goes way back into our youth. And I am hooked on big-time musicals. And so light opera, so to speak. And so then he got interested in that. And then, of course, our parents were from the World War II era, and we grew up at home listening to things like Frank Sinatra and all that kind of stuff. My family was more into Frank Sinatra and the crooners, and Barry's family was into country music, and so he was getting it about everywhere he went. And it grew from there. But for his rabid involvement in the music scene, give Strawberry Music Festival credit. Some friends of ours discovered it the first year it opened in 1982, and they took us along. They said, "You just got to see this, Barry," because they knew he loved music. And we were just enthralled with the whole scene. We'd never been to a music festival before like that, where everybody was really together in one place, into the same thing, and it was wonderful. And so we have been going since 1983 was the year that we were taken to the festival, and we never stopped. I think we missed in that time maybe two festivals out of all the Strawberry Music, and they have two a year now, so that's a lot of festivals. And from there, we met other people and got involved in other music, and we just happened to have these people camping with us who were musically inclined, and then Barry decided that after he retired from the public safety department, he had had a pretty severe back injury, and it wasn't his choice. But he decided, well, I'll give it a shot. I'm going to try to do something that I'm interested in and could have fun with. And so he thought, well, I'll book some of these musicians. By that point, we were very heavily involved in what was then the Santa Cruz Bluegrass Society, which is all now, I believe, the California or Northern California Bluegrass Society, sorry. And we became lifetime members of that. They produced their own concerts, so we got involved with volunteering and helping out with that. Getting every step we took was a little closer to getting to know musicians and getting to know, not because we wanted to be groupies, it's just every step we took got us closer into that area. And then we got involved while he was still had his booking agency with going to the International Bluegrass Association annual conventions that originally were in Owensboro, Kentucky. I think they went from there to Louisville to Nashville. I'm not sure where they are now because we don't go anymore, but we met so many people there, and that was the most intense experience we'd ever had. I mean, there were jams, an 8-story hotel with balconies all around the lobby, looking out on the lobby, and there were jams on every floor and every corner, and you know, it was an amazing thing. So by then he was booking several people, most of them local, people from California, people like Kathy Kallick, Marley's Ghost, James King. He had James King for a long time, Lou Reed and Carolina. They are not James King and Lou Reed are from the big old music scene back in the Southeast. And a number of other groups, and we did that for 3 or 4 years.
Texas, speeding. When the clock strikes nine, she's on the go, that gal of mine. To the honky-tonk's all bright and gay, with another guy to swing and sway. It's a honky-tonk blues I'm trying to lose. It's a honky-tonk blues when out the soles of my shoes. Comes in at 3 or 4, always wants to dance some more. She's never tired of tapping her feet. This boogie woogie is a killing me. It's a honky tonk blues I'm trying to lose. It's a honky tonk blues wearing out the soles of my shoes. Get the best of you. If I give you a squeeze, don't give them a chance. Show you a time, it'll make your heart dance. It's a honky-tonk blues I'm trying to lose. It's a honky-tonk blues wearing out the soles of my shoes.
And Honky Tonk Blues, the Cox family. That's Willard Cox doing the lead singing on that one. And that was before he retired from touring. And it's off of their album, Gone Like the Cotton. And Kathy Kallick's album, Foxhounds, has reached number one on the Roots Music Report. It's been there for several weeks now. And the song, In Texas. And it's the Kathy Kallick Band. Foxhounds is the name of the album.
Hi, this is Nolan Ford, and you're listening to a special tribute to Shasta Serenade host Barry Hazel, who passed away last week. Stay with us. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
I wish you had button eyes and a red felt nose. shaggy cotton skin, and just one set of clothes. Sitting on a shelf in a local department store, with no dreams to dream and nothing to be sorry for. I wish I was a teddy bear, no living or loving, nor going nowhere. I wish I was a teddy bear, and I wish that I never had fallen in love with you. I wish I had a wooden heart and a sawdust mind, then your memory wouldn't come around hurting all the time. With a sewed-on smile and a painted twinkle in my eye, then I never would have ever had to learn how to cry. I wish I was a teddy bear, no living or loving, nor going nowhere. I wish I was a teddy bear, and I wish that I never had fallen in love with you. I wish I had a string you could pull that would make me say what you want to hear from me to make you stay. And I'd know every time I spoke the words were right, and no one would know what a mess I've made of my life. I wish I was a teddy bear, no living or loving, nor going nowhere. I wish I was a teddy bear, and I wish that I never had fallen in love with you. I wish I was a teddy bear.
From 1982, Teddy Bear's song, Waylon Jennings. The album is actually Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, and the original album was called WW2, Roman numeral 2, and obviously stood for Willie and Waylon. You can't find that album, at least I haven't found it. I've only found it under the name The Original Outlaws, so it's a CD remake of that album. The album reached number 3 or 2 on the country charts in 1982 and tracked about, right around in the top 50 on the pop charts. That's not too bad. Gave them a gold album. Well, coming up next, Lonesome Daydream. It's a song by the Steep Ravine. They're out of the Bay Area. I played them last week. They're new to me. And the album is called The Pedestrian. They started out pretty much bluegrass, but the jazz influence in them, they're all graduates of a jazz institute in the Bay Area, and they show it in this album. Here's Lonesome Daybreak, Steep Ravine.
Alone, I redemption, no place to call mine. The engine's humming, the wheels of my life in motion, but I'm afraid to feel. And where was I last night? Lost in whiskey, dreams as cold as steel. But in a dream I was a sailor, on an empty sea I was alone. I had no needs, no intentions, no place to call my own. Call my own. I had no place. I had no place to call my own. Midnight, when I see the morning, that easy beam of blue, the lonesome starlight, Bellingham to Boulder, will I be good? Sailor, on an empty sea I was alone. I had no need for redemption, no place to call my own.
Not been up in this area very long. We had moved from the Bay Area, and we were living in our dear friends of ours were neighbors of ours here in Oak Run, and they had a little cabin that they lived in while they built their house. So we were living in their house and just trying to get ready to build our house. And finally, but we were getting involved in going to some music things, and we met various people. And Pat Wallner, who's in charge of Wallner Plumbing here in Redding, and has been for years, is a real music fan, and he got a hold of Barry. He had gotten his name from someone as somebody who was really involved in music, because Pat was a member of the Rotary Club, and they were looking for a new fundraiser, and so they wanted Barry to basically direct and put the show together and produce it. And, well, the Rotary Club produced it, but. So he did. He met with Pat, and they got along great. And so Pat was probably the producer of the show, but we were the directors of the show, and we called all our friends from the other music festivals that we have been involved with over the years, and they all came and they acted as volunteers. So it was a non-profit kind of thing, fundraiser for the Rotary Club. And the first year, we didn't have much attendance, but everybody loved it. It was at the Shasta District Fairgrounds down in Anderson. They especially loved jamming in the horse barns and the animal stalls. They had great time in there because they said the sound was perfect. So that was, everybody fried. It was in October. They did a lot of research and found out that October, right around Columbus Day, was least likely to have rain here. So that was when it was. And the first year we had people like, Nantucket and a fairly large name bluegrass acts. And, Chesapeake, that's what it was, not Nantucket, sorry. And it was very popular, and everybody, including the people who came there, a lot of our friends came from out of the area. Bluegrass people tend to do that. They travel a lot. And so they encouraged us to do it the next year. Well, the next year, another club in town came, and we put up this huge, huge tent to give people some shade out there. Oh, excuse me, that was the last year. The second year, we put up this huge tent, and it worked beautifully. And we were jam-packed with people, and we did interviews. We had on-air radio interviews that we did with the artists who were there. And the attendance was about triple what it had been the year before. It was doing really well. And the third year was the year we put up the tent again, and the skies opened up like it's been this year and poured for all the days. A whole huge tent came down. Now, this tent was the size of an auditorium almost. It's a really huge tent. So we had to move it into the fairground buildings just on almost a moment's notice. Nobody had known that this big storm was going to be that big. And so we moved it all inside. And that year we had, we had Lori Lewis, we had Gibson Brothers. Anyway, despite the rain, everybody came out. They still camped. They camped in the animal barns. They camped in their trailers, and they schlepped through the rain over to this tin-roofed building that sounded terrible, but everybody had a great time. Meanwhile, these dear friends of ours, Bruce and Linda Wendt, who live here in Oak Run and also have gone to Strawberry for years, although we had too. We'd never met them until we moved up here. We had met them, and he and Barry started fantasizing about how wonderful it would be if we could put on music like that ourselves. Well, we couldn't afford a full festival, and we didn't want to go with second or third rate performers. We wanted nationally touring bands because that's the kind of music that we've been spoiled by. And so we decided to form a concert series, and so that was the birth of the Oak Song Society for Preservation of Way Cool Music. And it started out on the Wentz front porch, but we eventually built a stage and put in a pretty decent sound system and hosted barbecues. And gosh, we had some very, very good years.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week, 'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind a Sunday night at all, 'cause that's the night friends come to call. And Monday to Friday go fast, and another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually seek, until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see. Until I hear you at that door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. Until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got the string around my finger. What a world, man, this is a lie. Hey now, I'm so in love.
I've Got the World on a String, Frank Sinatra from 1953, which was a huge year for him. He was in From Here to Eternity and received the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. Hey, it's time for our top of the hour break. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a lot more of the Shasta Serenade and a little bit more of Frank Sinatra. I hope you stick around.